Reading is Wisdom chapter 12, verses 13, 16 to 19. For neither there is any good God besides you, whose care is for all people, to whom you should prove that you have not judged unjustly. For your strength is the source of righteousness, and your sovereignty over all causes you to spare all. For you show strength when people doubt completeness of your power, and you rebuke any insolence among those who know it. Although you are sovereign in strength, you judge fairly, and with great forbearance you govern us. For you have power to act whenever you choose.
Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Whoever has ears, let them hear.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you all for having me here this morning. It's lovely to start getting used to what it's like on the eastern side of London. In many years in the tame west of the diocese. Nice to be with you all here today. Before I trained for ministry, I used to teach modern theatre and poetry for a living. So I hope you'll humour me if I begin this morning with a couple of lines from a contemporary poem which a friend shared online with me this week. It's by the contemporary award-winning Canadian poet Karen Soley from her poem The Grasslands. Soley is a native of the region of Saskatchewan in Western Canada. And in that poem, she's writing about the grasslands of that part of Canada and about the reintroduction there of a near extinct species. And she says of that species, "They belong to themselves as you belong to yourself, more difficult to create than to destroy. They belong to themselves as you belong to yourself, more difficult to create than to destroy." That part of Canada, Saskatchewan's main industry is wheat farming. It even has wheat on its flag. And it's interesting to compare the image of wheat fields that's there in those lines from Soley's poem, a grasslands landscape which is open to a bit of ecological diversity, capable of becoming more diverse. And we compare that with the image from our parable this morning. a field where weeds are allowed to grow alongside wheat. Maybe some of you are thinking, as I put those two images alongside each other this morning, hold on, Jack, because there's an obvious difference between those images, those ideas as well. It's right for us to celebrate the diversity among all the gifts of God's creation, all the good things that God has created. But the weeds in the parable, well, they're sown by the enemy. They're sown by the evil one. And at the end of the day, literally at the end of time, the parable says that those weeds need to be destroyed. They need to be destroyed because it's not just a matter of live and let live, that people belong to themselves as you belong to yourself. Those weeds belong to themselves as the wheat belongs to itself. Because we know that that's not always how things work. In a sense, no creature lives like that. We are bound up in each other. We belong to each other. And we're entangled in the whole creation. We belong to the whole. There's a question here on the line. And that. That we might just to turn out okay, the desire for the world to be made new. Is God. Created world. We talked about some of the people who are currently standing up for Palestinian Christians and others living in the Middle East and praying and working that all peoples of the Holy Land can live in peace at such a fractious time. We talked about those standing up for the welcome and dignity for LGBT Christians in the church. We talked about those who are trying to encourage reparations for those affected in the church by the legacies of slavery. All of these are ways of things that righteousness might mean for us now. People who want to believe that the church can change on these things. We've heard about some of these things spoken in General Synod this week. And having the courage to say, in some ways, these things are not up for debate. This is God's bias, as we heard about in our hymn. And the world needs to be transformed along these lines. And yet the parable reminds us, even as we might be hungers like these or the other hearts, the parable reminds us that it is God's righteousness, not ours. It is God and God's angels who are the ones who have that full vision of justice, and they are the ones. We might hunger for that justice. We might be made in God's likeness enough to have a foretaste of it. We might then be occasionally be able to act for it. But we are creatures. We're on the sides of the weeds and the wheat. And that means that we have to live in a messy, creaturely world in which God's justice is bleeding into it from without. Justice is somehow something which transcends us a bit. And precisely because God is the source of justice and righteousness, because God's justice is absolute and total, that it's all in a sense already decided for us. What that actually means, if we think carefully and have the patience and the vision for it, is to recognize that because God's, you know, God's righteousness is absolute, God has the freedom to act in the way that God chooses. God does not need to do the kind of things that human thinks they need to execute justice. God doesn't need to go in with all guns blazing. But actually, justice can also look like patient stewardship. And our first reading this morning guides us through some of this. It describes God as the source of righteousness, that God has sovereignty over all. But then it goes on, it says, although you are sovereign in strength, you judge with mildness. And at the very end of the reading, we hear that we can change what we think judgment might look like. If that's the way that God acts with mildness. We learn that God, in the words at the end of the reading, God has taught your people that the righteous must be kind. The righteous must be kind. That first reading comes from the Wisdom of Solomon. That's a book that's in the part of the Bible called the Apocrypha. It's from just a few centuries before Jesus was born. That means it was written by Jews, but it was written in Greek, not Hebrew, which means that it's not in some Bibles, including the church Bibles here, and not all churches use that reading that frequently. But what's interesting about this book, and the verses around it in that book of wisdom, if you can find it and choose to read a bit more in it, that book was written as a way of the Jewish people just a few centuries before Christ going back to other books of the Bible, going back to the story of the Exodus, and giving a subtly different retelling, a subtly different commentary on it. And one of the interesting things about that commentary is its treatment of some of Israel's enemies, people like the Canaanites, who are accused of injustice because they worship false gods. And the writer of Wisdom says that God judges them little by little. God judges even the apparent enemies of God and Israel to give them an opportunity to repent. I think the really interesting thing about this book is it's written by the experience of Jews living throughout the Mediterranean, throughout the Middle East, living with a very wide range of people. It's a powerful message and a powerful way of thinking perhaps slightly differently about how God relates to all people. And it reminds us, and it's written in these texts, that God is a God whose care is for all people. It reminds us that God's primary act is as a creator, to love that creation, all of that creation, as it is and as it can be. And when God judges as a loving creator, with that care for creation in mind. When I feel judgmental, perhaps about some of those causes that I've mentioned and other things like them, I don't always feel like that. There is still that little bit of me which hungers for that old-fashioned kind of justice and does want something of those whom I feel against, those people who are thinking or doing the wrong thing. A bit of me does actually want them burned up in that moment. On a good day, when I'm praying hard enough and thinking hard enough and being kind enough, I recognize that what I'm actually thinking about is maybe parts of that person, parts of their behavior, little bits of them. I want those little bits to be destroyed so I can see the good in them, so I can see them be recreated into something or someone I can be at peace with. And on an even better day than that, when I'm really praying and really being honest about myself with God, I realize that actually what I'm wanting is for the bits of me that are a bit wicked, that are a bit vindictive and a bit self-righteous and a bit unnecessarily angry, I want those to be destroyed as well. I want to be made new. I want to be peaceful. I want to be the kind of person I can be at peace with. And all of that's good, but I'm reminded of those words from the poem again, from Karen Soley. It's more difficult to create than to destroy. In thinking like that, I think I'm still paying attention to destruction. I'm not thinking about the new creature, the new, interesting, different creature that that wrong person or different person could be. I'm not necessarily thinking about the new creature that I could be either. It's the easy way out to think about that kind of judgment because it stops me from attending to the new creation, the new change that can happen. And that can happen, even start to happen now. Other people can become different, other creatures and situations can become different, and I can become different too, through dialogue, through peacemaking, through going alongside. Jesus says at the end of our parable, but the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. They will shine and not burn. Even if justice feels like a burning issue, the fruit of justice is that shining. And they'll shine with the Father. They'll shine as part of a heavenly community. People will be bundled together in that harvest. There's going to be other people in heaven, other loved creatures. Creatures who might well be very different from us. Creatures new created who still, in a sense, belong to themselves as we belong to ourselves. And I think pursuing righteousness on earth, pursuing justice that looks like God's justice, is about embracing that, about getting used to that, finding what is just in the lives of other creatures, and being open to that process of change that we're all on that journey towards justice, helping other people, other situations change, perhaps recognizing where they need to change, but recognizing that we change too. That's what the Jewish community who wrote and read that book of wisdom knew, and all of the Hebrew words for justice, even if they're not being used explicitly in that Greek text from wisdom, always stress that justice is about right relationship and about caring for the vulnerable. It's always done in community. And that community, they could believe that about justice because they believed in a God who was just and, while being just, wanted to be in a relationship with his people. I loved the detail that inspired Pat's hymn this morning of synagogues having a round window to allow God to look in on the people. This idea that God wants to look and wants to engage and wants to be part of the just community of God's people. As Christians, we see that desire for God's just relationship with us fulfilled in the example of Jesus, in a God who wants to come into creation, to step into the field with us, to actually be among the weeds and the wheat. And in Jesus, God is willing to be subject to people who think they are being just by being destructive, who are willing to put people to death because they believe they're a threat to justice, only to promise that there is a different way than that, that he can come back from the dead to help to create a new creation that we can all join, to show a different way that true righteousness is not defeated by our own desires for destruction, even if those can linger. And the final thing I'll say is that we also see something of that new kind of justice, of God's justice, the just God of community, of persisting relationship, when we meet here in this Eucharist. In a minute, Chris is going to say, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God," and we'll reply, "It is right to give thanks." And the ancient versions of that text, what it actually says there in Latin and other versions, it is right and just. There is something about what we do in the Eucharist when we share bread and wine that says this is what divine justice looks like. This is something which looks a bit like the final harvest. And what that justice looks like is taking up some of the gifts of creation, wheat and grapes becoming bread and wine. And rather than exploiting them, simply eating them and going away, we ask God to do a new thing with them, to make them new. And justice also looks like all of us being together, perhaps not all knowing each other, perhaps not all entirely getting on with each other, perhaps longing for change in our lives and in our community, but still asking God, just as he will do with the bread and the wine, to make something new out of us, to us all bound up together in each other, and recognizing that that is what the... It's more difficult to create than to destroy. But as we gather here, and perhaps as we gather for the barbecue later as well, we can see new signs of that new vision of justice being created. So I pray that we'll all be ready to see it today as we gather to share time together and in our lives throughout the week of discipleship as well, as we continue to pursue that justice.